Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Thank you, Father, so much for your guidance, your revelations that you give to us to prepare us for the things to come. And thank you for getting us all ready for the coming of the Lord in his saints. And in his man child. And thank you so much, Father, for what you're doing. Amen. All right, we're going to continue with Preserved from the Beast, number 24. In this first revelation, we're going to share, along with a lot of scripture, we call the Murderous Apostate Church. And this was given to Elena Timoshuk, 11:27-21. She said, I dreamed that I was attending a Thanksgiving church service at one of the main churches in our ethnic community called Word of Life Church. I was sitting in the pew with my mom and sister, and we were watching the service. And as we will see, this church represents the apostate legalistic church system that is part of the Mother of Harlots, and she is in league with the beast. They claim to have the words of life, but instead the word of their false doctrines only allows the old man to live while putting to death the spiritual man, which is Christ in us. Amen. One lady went up to sing, and I couldn't help but giggle a little when she started singing way off key, and after that, the lady sang. Well, I think that singing off key is not physically bad or a problem. However, it represents a disharmony with the Holy Spirit and among the body. And when we're not in tune with the Spirit of God, then we can't walk in the Spirit or be led by the Spirit. And most of the apostate church does not believe in the infilling of the Holy Spirit, nor the gifts of speaking in tongues, nor the other gifts. Romans 8:14 says, For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And people who are devoid of the filling of the Spirit are living the Christian life according to their mind. That's not walking in the Spirit. Some other people went up on stage and started performing a play. The main character in the play was a Chinese lady. And we believe this is representing the harlot that rides the dragon beast. She is Chinese because she worships the dragon and brings forth strange children who are spiritual foreigners and don't look like the father. She had her hair fashioned into two buns. On the sides of her head, and her hair was very dark black. Well, hair is a sign of submission, according to 1 Corinthians 11, and this represents a submission that's split between the mind of the flesh and the mind of the spirit. Her dress was red and blue, and the skirt stuck out around her like a spinning top. Well, red and blue, when mixed, makes purple. And it reminds us of Revelation 17:14. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations, even the unclean things of her fornication. Of course, this is fornication with the world. We are supposed to receive only the seed of our husband, which is Jesus Christ, right? And that is the Word of God. So the stage had a nighttime setting with a large round moon. The nighttime setting probably represents the darkness that is covering the earth, and the large round moon may represent the bride who is dead to self, like the moon is dead, and has come to maturity at this time outside of this Harlot Beach church system, just as the moon was outside, right? And there was a man on the stage in a gray suit. Well, I believe that this man is in the gray suit. It represents Christ and the man-child ministers who preach the true gospel of death to self. This is not being preached in the apostate churches at all. And Matthew 16:24-26 says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man would come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever would save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what shall a man profit if he gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his life?" The crucified life is a necessity. It's part of our baptism, right? He was watching the Chinese lady as she was performing some sort of dance, and then she started doing some karate kicks and fighting moves at the guy in the gray suit that was watching her. Well, she obviously persecutes and is the enemy of Christ and the man-child, as in Jesus' day. The way she dressed and the moves she was doing were quite inappropriate, and I was so shocked and confused that they were allowing this kind of performance in a church. Well, their nakedness represents their sin, which is seen by the world and is disrespected. The apostate church is ruled over by a Jezebel spirit that fights against the true gospel, which is Jesus, the Word of God made flesh, right? And Revelation 2:20-23 says, "But I have this against thee, that thou sufferest the woman Jezebel, who calleth herself a prophetess, and she teacheth and seduceth my servants to commit fornication," again, with the world, and not faithful to the husband, "and to eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time that she should repent, and she willeth not to repent of her fornication." Neither did she in Jesus' day either. This is history repeating, right? "Behold, I cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of her works." That happened in Jesus' day too, right? Leading up to 70 AD. "And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he that searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto each one of you according to your works." Then the scene changed, and I was giving a girl a tour around the church. She was shorter than me, probably less mature, I'm guessing, and had shoulder-length blonde hair. Well, I believe in this revelation that Elena represents the first fruits bride body in this dream, who recognizes what is wrong with the apostate church system and has come out. And she's now instructing her little sister, spoken of in Song of Solomon, chapter 8, on how to be submitted to the Son. And we will call that SUN/SON, because blonde hair is obviously emphasized here. "And represented by her long blonde hair and teaching her to discern all the evils and dangers of apostasy and the apostate church system." I started going room by room, explaining to her what was in each room. Every room was a room where people committed murder. And, of course, I see this as spiritual murder in most cases, and in some cases, it's physical murder. The tongues of the apostates and the factious church leadership kill the spiritual man with their lies and slander and their divisive words that separate or dismember the body of Christ into many rooms, or people call the denominations such a thing, many rooms. And 2 Peter 2, 1 through 3 says, "But there arose false prophets also among the people, as among you also there shall be false teachers, who shall privily bring in destructive heresies, denying even the master that brought them, that bought them, and bringing upon themselves swift destruction. Many shall follow their lascivious doings," by, in other words, their license to do whatever they wanted to do, right? "By reason of whom the way of the truth shall be evil spoken of." Yes, they cause the way of the truth to be spoken of evilly. "And in the covetousness shall they with feigned words," fake words, "make merchandise of you, whose sentence now from of old lingereth not, and their destruction slumbereth not." Each room had gruesome posters of how people were killed and a machine that they used to kill the person. Well, the machines represent their very organized thoughts and words, which are swords with which the apostates dismember the body of Christ through division and separation, by slander, and by preaching their false doctrines of men. As I was going from room to room, the murderous machines and posters just got worse and more gruesome. Proverbs 18 and 21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." And of course, James 3 and 6 says, "The tongue is a fire, and the world of iniquity among our members is the tongue, which defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the wheel of nature," or in other words, the cycle of life, "and is set on fire by hell." So these are not people that are following the Spirit or hearing the Word of God. It's people who have selfish ambition, and they're doing their own thing. So, she went on to say, "We were in the second to last room, and I showed her a tall wooden box. It had a lid on the top, and I explained to her that this is where they put a person and would lock the lid." In other words, they bring them into religious bondage, right? "In the front of the box were a bunch of square wooden buttons, and when they pushed the buttons in, it would stab the person with tons of needles. Then on the side of the machine was a handle attached to a circle that they would spin. It spun a bunch of blades inside the box that would cut the person up." Well, it's interesting that Father would describe this machine as the tool that apostate ministers used in this dream to separate people unto themselves through their sharp, divisive speech. And this reminds me of the testimony of Mary Kay Baxter, in which she describes witnessing this exact same scenario in her book on pages 69 through 73. It's called A Divine Revelation of Hell. And most of it needs some interpretation, but it's a good book. And ironically, she witnessed a church pastor who fell into apostasy, and he was trapped in hell inside a coffin, and there were demons with sharp spears marching around the coffin and stabbing the man through his heart over and over again. And why was this his torment? It was because he was reaping what he had sown in the world. Yeah. And Jesus told Mary that Satan had put him there, and that this man is tormented day and night because he once preached the word and saved souls, but turned away and started stealing money and preaching false doctrines. And, of course, bringing souls down. There's no fruit in that. At that moment, she was pretty sickened by it all, and I told her, let's take a break before looking at the last room, because that one is the worst of them all. Well, in the end, the apostate church, who is in league with the beast and feels justified to persecute and kill the real church, which has happened throughout history. Some people say, oh, that'll never happen. Oh, yes, it will. It will happen. And then I went to the bathroom and washed my hands and face, and then I woke up. And of course, I believe washing our hands represents repentance and sanctification. Amen. Revelation 17, 1 through 6 says, come hither, I will show thee the judgment of the great harlot that sitteth upon many waters. Well, we know that a harlot is one who does not restrict herself to receiving the seed of her husband, in this case, who it should be the Lord, just like the apostate church. And with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and they that dwell in the earth were made drunken with the wine of her fornication. And he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness. And I saw a woman sitting upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and decked with gold and precious stone and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations, even the unclean things of her fornication. And upon her forehead a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of the harlots. Notice that, the mother of the harlots, and of the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. Well, they kill by sins that are of omission and commission. In other words, they don't give the truth that saves, and they do give the lies that kill. Amen. Satan is the deceiver of the whole world, Revelation 12 and 9 says. And he rules in them through a body of demons from hell, who recreate in each of them his own fallen Antichrist spirit. There's nobody that can get further from the Lord than a religious person. Because the Lord starts turning people over to the devil in order to make them see their lost estate and repent and turn to him. Well, in this way, the corporate body of the beast demon spirits are being birthed upon the earth in a corporate body of beast human spirits and souls. The body of Antichrist is from beneath, and the body of Christ is from above, as Jesus addressed the Pharisaical leadership. You are from beneath, and I am from above. Remember, all these disciples were under that leadership until their eyes were opened, right? And they thought highly of that leadership, okay? People's eyes need to be opened. Pray for them. So this wicked world body is coming to maturity, first as the ten-horned dragon in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, and then as the ten-horned beast of the second 3.5 years. Revelation 12 and 3, and I'm kind of skipping through here, so please, you know, disregard this so that I can actually get everything in here. A great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 13 and 1. A beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads. There they are. And these 10 horns are the leadership of the 10 continental divisions of the whole world. The corporate beast spirit from the abyss will rule the whole world through the 10 horns of the corporate beast body. And some are receiving a true revelation of this, but many do not understand them, being blinded by the letter of tradition and not having an understanding of the interpretations. In 1976, Mary Kay Baxter had a vision, which she has shared in her book, A Divine Revelation of Hell. And in the vision, Jesus took her to hell and showed her the corporate beast spirit. Hordes of demons were flowing out of its horns to rule all over the earth. And here's a portion of her book. Jesus said, "Tonight, my child, we will go to a different part of the heart of hell. I want to tell you about the horns and show you how they will be used to funnel evil spirits and demon forces up to the surface of the earth. I saw an old farmhouse, dead and gray looking. There was no life there. Death was everywhere. I knew this farmhouse was part of hell, and I watched as a huge man with extremely large muscles came out of the door. He was about 6 feet tall, with the bulky build of a weightlifter." Well, this strong man is the corporate body of demons that the stronger man, who was Jesus, cast out and bound for the sake of believers in Luke chapter 11, 19 through 26. And he's bound today, folks. If you get the revelation and know it, you know you've got authority over him. Okay? His color was the same dead gray as the surroundings. His flesh was like scales, like on a dragon. And his head was so large that his legs were bowed from carrying such a great load. Yes, we're seeing the corporate beast head today being marched down to Gitmo and done away with. If you don't know it yet, you will know it. But that's a temporary thing to give us some time. And we know that demon principalities over the nations are the head of this body of evil spirits. His feet were hoofed like the feet of a pig. Pigs bring on the thought of somebody that's overwhelmingly fleshly, right? His face was stern and evil, and he looked to be very old. Well, of course, since the beginning, since man fell into sin, right? The earth shook as he moved, and horns were growing out of the top of his head, large horns. I saw that his head was like a beast, a powerful, evil beast, full of destruction. And I saw the horns as they wound their way upward and ended in homes, churches, hospitals, offices, buildings of all kinds all over the earth. The horns did great damage throughout the land. Notice, all even through churches, right? And I saw the beast speak, and evil spirits were spit out on the earth. So out of this one corporate spirit body, many demon spirits will come upon the earth through its horns, and they are in all of the earth and not just in the Middle East, as some people would like to say, which is silly. And I saw many people seduced by these demonic forces and fall into Satan's snares. We are in a war, and I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, "Good against evil." I saw kingdoms arising out of the earth, and millions of people began to follow these evil forces. And I heard Jesus say, "This is beginning to happen now." Well, that was in 1976. We know that the beast has always been in the earth, right? But it's taking a direction in which to bring deception to the whole world. These things are and were and will be, unquote. They that worshipped the beast were many, and I saw the world in the midst of a great tribulation, and I began praying with all of my heart, "O Lord, help us," I cried out. She was part of a denomination that didn't believe the church was going to go through the tribulation. But the revelation shows differently. Well, this is a revelation that was given to Amber Arney on 11/17/21, and we called it Facing the Armies of Hellboy. Okay, this entire dream seemed to take place on a train, she said. Well, Eve dreamed of a fast-moving train that UBM was riding on that was the US/China train heading towards a precipice or a cliff, and Father brought it to a screeching halt, saying, "This is the end of the line." And Amber said, "I dreamed that I went to a store, like a Walmart, and stood in a long aisle with other people, and we were all facing an army. This army was full of strong young men, eager to go to war. I don't know who they wanted to fight, but they looked like American soldiers." And I believe this is a portion of the global army of the beast. Yes. Well, this army inside Walmart reminds me of another portion of Mary Baxter's testimony in A Divine Revelation of Hell. She described this vision on pages 164 through 167. And keep in mind that she had this vision back in 1976, before any personal computers or internet or cell phones were available to the public. "I looked closer," quote, "I looked closer, and I saw people like dead men walking. They were in a desperate sadness in the air. The people were being led about by some unseen force." And this could be representing this injectable computing system experimented with in the vaccines, described further down in this dream. "Now and then a voice spoke out of the air, and they obeyed the voice." In other words, it could be broadcast into their thoughts, right? "They did not talk to one another. The number 666 was written on their foreheads and hands," as a symbol, of course. This may represent the subcutaneous quantum dot vaccine passports from Bill Gates that are ready to be injected into human subjects. And we'll put a link here for that. "I saw soldiers on horses herding the people about as if they were cattle. The American flag was tattered and torn, lying on the ground. This country has been torn apart by the deep state leftist agenda. They don't respect patriotism or the flag, obviously. And they want to divide us politically and racially. Even though they are receiving a setback right now so that the church can be educated and prepared for the beast to make war on them in the middle of the tribulation. But they will return with a vengeance around mid-trib. The people walked one behind the other into a large department store, and it was said that Walmart is involved in lending many of its store buildings to the deep state for their tunnel systems and there are education camps, and there's entrances into the tunnel system from these Walmart stores. They were a major part of it, and that's all coming down for now. They kept in step like discouraged soldiers and were dressed in prison garb. A fence surrounded the store and guards where were stationed here and there. Everywhere I looked, I saw soldiers in battle dress uniforms. And I saw these zombie-like people herded into the store where they were able to buy only the barest necessities. Well, the mass COVID vaccination rollout is now being dissipated, but it will be back. The contaminants purposely placed in the vaccines have caused significant dumbing down and even early onset dementia as part of the adverse side effects of the injections that are contaminated with brain-eating prions and organisms. And these can cause a zombie-like effect on people. We've been calling it dumbing down, right? I heard a loud voice fill the night air, and I saw a huge beast, and he sat on a large throne. All of the people obeyed the beast. I saw spiritual horns growing from his head. They reached into and out of every place on earth. The beast took upon himself many positions of authority and many offices, and he became great in power. Yes, they took over a lot of corporations by blackmail and bribe and so on. And you're seeing a lot of these CEOs of these major corporations fleeing right now because they've been caught. The deep state beast system has used their fake pandemic to justify huge power grabs all over the world in a coordinated effort to not only commit mass genocide, but to implement their new world order that they have renamed the Great Reset. It's not great, and it's not a reset. Anyway, so even though this is temporary, it will be back, okay? This, all of this is giving them experimentation for the final thing, you know. So the beast pushed himself into many places and deceived many people. The rich and famous were deceived as well as the poor and disenfranchised. Small and great paid homage to the beast. A large machine was brought into an office. The beast put his mark on it. And his voice came out of it. And there was also a Big Brother machine that could see into homes and businesses. And this part of the machine was invisible to the naked eye and reported the people's every move to the beast. So these machines, Mary Baxter describes, sounds a lot like the nanotechnology patents for the vaccines that are available for viewing on the Moderna website, for instance, and the patent discussed by Karen Kingston, who is a Pfizer whistleblower, is number 10.703.789B2 in her interviews with Stu Peters, which we'll put a link, okay? Okay, it's an injectable computing system that will connect with smart apps on our phones and can be ruled by smart apps on phones and computers. And she states that there are four advanced technologies that are part of these injections. And the purpose of them is to trace your social networking and your activities and the graphene oxide is the supporting substrate for semiconducting and an environment of electromagnetic waves. The vaccines not only contain self-aware living organisms building little colonies of people, but also these computing systems that will track everyone through smart app technology through your phone and other devices. Okay, now we're going to go back to Amber's dream. Okay. All of the army men seemed so happy and youthful and not like a threat to us. Well, the beast armies will not be a threat to the bride who abides in the secret place of the Most High. She went on to say, they reminded me of the old movies where the young men can't wait to get in on the action and they hope the war isn't over before they get there. That's a silly thought, but believe it or not, it was kind of common. I couldn't help but focus on one youth in the middle. He was just as happy, eager, and as youthful as the rest, except that he was taller than all of the rest, and he had bright red skin and a triangular face like a demon. He looked like the comic character Hellboy, except he didn't have the sawed-off horn stumps on his forehead. Ah. Everyone treated him like a normal person, like they do a lot of crazy people nowadays. The beast is well hidden amongst his army and the systems and ways of the world. He's considered normal among those who belong to him and have his mind. And there are only two corporate men in the earth, as we know, Christ and Antichrist. And the whole world lieth in the evil one. So you see, there's only two bodies of people. And he was talking enthusiastically about the future. Well, Satan thinks that the future he has planned for the world is going to end in his victory and his demon's victory. But he sows deception and therefore reaps deception. There may have been another smaller demon next to him, but I was so focused on this red giant that I can't remember much else. Well, according to Wikipedia, she said, Hellboy was summoned from hell to earth as a baby by Nazi occultists, spawning his hatred of the Third Reich. Some of his aliases included World Destroyer, Great Beast, Beast of the Apocalypse, Right Hand of Doom, Son of the Fallen One. In time, Hellboy grew to be a large red-skinned adult with a tail, horns, which he flies off, and leaving behind circular stumps on his forehead, cloven hooves for feet, and an oversized right hand made of stone. In parenthesis, she put the Right Hand of Doom, it was called. Okay. Although a bit gruff, he shows none of the malevolence, meaning ill will or malice or hatred, thought to be intrinsic in classical demons. Proving not to be a devil in the traditional sense, but a devil-like creature, the child was dubbed Hellboy by Professor Trevor, quote, Broom, unquote, Brutenholm, taken by the United States Armed Forces to an Air Force base in New Mexico. Hellboy is raised by Professor Trevor Brutenholm in as normal a home environment as possible, and as a Catholic. Due to the success of his first mission in 1952, Hellboy is granted honorary human status by the United Nations. As such, Hellboy interacts regularly with humans, primarily law enforcement officials, the military, and various scholars of the weird. most of whom don't overtly react to his strange appearance. Well, people cannot see the sons of the devil manifesting all around us. And it seems more and more normal to people who have been put to sleep, you know. The Bible says in Isaiah 5 and 20, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, and that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." It's kind of like the frog in the teapot and has crept in on us, and it's here. And things that would have seemed so evil to people 50 years ago now seem like they are normal and acceptable behavior. Okay, now we got a revelation given to Claire Pienaar, 10:15-21. We called it, "The hounds of hell will not prevail against us." I dreamed of hell. The fire was bright red and orange. I have never experienced such heat penetrating from a force before. It was so hot. Well, it seems as though Father is using Claire prophetically in the dream to not only experience the trials of her brethren, but also to warn us of what the enemy is doing so that we can be overcomers. Satan is seemingly roasting the people of God right now with many fiery trials which have been ordained by God to purify us for his kingdom in the tribulation days to come. And Isaiah 45 and 7 says, "I form the light and create the darkness. I make peace and create evil. I am the Lord that doeth all these things." Now, what does God use evil for? Well, he uses it for chastening his people and teaching his people, for sure. Okay. I saw two huge beasts that looked like dogs on a leash. Well, God has the dogs of Satan, the beast, on a short leash. He's in total control. The entity holding their leash was Hecate, or Hecate. With a K, and one of the principalities of adultery, fornication, and revenge, according to my very rudimentary assessment of it, I heard a voice say, "The hounds of hell are coming for you." Well, could this represent the dogs of faction that Eve dreamed about, that the Lord was planning to round up and euthanize in their final attempts to come against God's elect with their witchcraft prayers? According to Wikipedia, Hecate, it's spelled H-E-C-A-T-E or H-E-K-A-T-E, is a goddess in ancient Greek religion and mythology, and most often shown holding a pair of torches, a key, snakes, or accompanied by dogs, in latter periods depicted in a triple form. And she is variously associated with crossroads, entranceways, night, light, magic, witchcraft, knowledge of herbs and poisonous plants, ghosts, necromancy, and sorcery. Dogs were closely associated with Hecate in the classical world. Quote, "In art and in literature, Hecate is constantly represented as dog-shaped or as accompanied by a dog. Her approach was heralded by the howling of a dog. In latter times, Hecate's dog came to be thought of as a manifestation of restless souls or demons who accompanied her. Its docile appearance and its accompaniment of Hecate, who looks completely friendly in many pieces of ancient art, suggests that its original signification was positive and thus likelier to have arisen from the dog's connection with birth than the dog's underworld associations. Well, you know, demons come on to people as though they are friends, as though they will protect you. I've heard all these things from them, and so on and so forth. They sneak in to a person's life. And the more they give in to sin and its directions, the worse they become. Well, she goes on, as a goddess expected to avert harmful or destructive spirits from the house or city over which she stood guard and to protect the individuals as she or he passed through dangerous liminal places. Hecate would naturally become known as a goddess who could also refuse to avert the demons or even drive them on against unfortunate individuals. So Clara went on to say, I rebuked it and just said, no, in the name of Jesus, I do not accept that. I remember thinking, I have repented and confessed all known sins, so I can't go there and they can't get me. Well, true. I also remember thinking the gates of hell will not prevail. Matthew 16:17-19. And Jesus answered and said, I also say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Remember, you have this authority over the demons. So in Wikipedia's description, the entity Hecate is shown holding a pair of torches, a key, snakes, or accompanied by dogs. But God's promise to us is that Jesus took these things away from Satan and he empowered the saints with authority to bind and loose them, right? And she went on to say, this dream looped while I was sleeping, but I eventually woke myself up because the heat had been so intense in the dream and I was soaking with perspiration in reality. I received by faith at random 2 Kings 18:16 with my finger on of the Lord. At that time did Hezekiah cut off the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the pillars which Hezekiah king of Judah had overlaid and gave it to the king of Assyria. And of course we know this is the start of Judah's trial with Assyria, which ends with the angels smiting 185,000 of his men. And this tells me that the vision or the dream was from the Lord, she said, and that he ordains each trial, and that when we endure in our faith, Christ fights for us, and the Holy Spirit gives us the power to fight. And as I've often heard David say, she said, send the angels. Well, and of course they are ministry spirits sent forth to do service for those who will inherit salvation, right? Amen. So she said, I asked the Lord what he would have the bride do in these times when the wicked will seek to persecute those in Christ. And he gave me this by faith at random, Psalm 68:32. In context, 32 through 35. Sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth. O sing praises unto the Lord. Selah. Ascribe ye strength unto God. His excellency is over Israel, and his strength is in the skies. O God, thou art terrible out of thy holy places. The God of Israel, he giveth strength and power unto his people. Blessed be God. And she said, our Lord wants praise in all things, no murmuring or grumbling, but praise. Amen. I agree. And here's one by Isaac Payne that we called Satan Wants to Sift Us. That's 11:16-21. In this dream, my family and I were in our pickup truck and were out on a joyride. However, neither me nor my wife, Mariana, were driving the truck. I was in the driver's seat, but the truck was on a guided path, probably representing that God is sovereign and in complete control over our lives and our directions, right? It seems like an amusement park train ride that is slow and relaxing, allowing the guests to observe the park. And we were riding through the scenic parts of the countryside, enjoying all the beautiful scenery, and were very content. But it didn't last. As Amber's dream we just shared also took place on a train, right? So he says, as we continued, we came to the end of the road where there was a cave. Well, the end of the road or line was spoken of by Father in regards to the U.S.-China train, as previously mentioned. And we are seeing, by the way, an end to the criminal deep state alliance with China ruling over the United States. So on the outside of it were rock cliffs and hills. I did not want to enter the cave because it was dark and mysterious, but the truck continued towards the path of the cave. Well, we know that nothing and no one can stop what is coming in Father's end time plans for his church, as well as the judgments upon the wicked are going to be fulfilled, right? And when we entered the cave, all outside light was diminished. So the cave represents entering the tribulations of our own personal wilderness and also the tribulation period, and leaving behind life as we have known it. The doors were closed and locked and the windows rolled up in the truck. So the truck was sealed up, Isaac said. Well, when we are sealed with the seal of God, we are safe from the judgments that will come upon the wicked. Ezekiel 9, 4 through 7 says, and the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark on the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done in the midst thereof. Some people love it. They don't sigh and cry over it. They love it. You know, it's part of the world. They're part of the world, so it doesn't seem weird to them. But to the holy, it is weird, and they cry over it. And to the others, he said in my hearing, go ye through the city after him and smite. Let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly the old man, the young man, and the virgin, and the little children and women. But come not near any man upon whom is the mark. And that's the mark of God, by the way. And begin at my sanctuary. And they went forth and smote in the city. And as we continued this ride, all around us was total and utter darkness. Mariana, Israel, Isaiah, and I were all hugging each other and praying to Father. I felt the presence of fear was heavy in this cave. Well, Satan rules people's lives through fear. He herds people through fear, like a lot of people were herded in to take their vaccines, right? And we must always fight against fear. That God is not leading. He hasn't given us a spirit of fear, and he doesn't lead us with fear, except the fear of the Lord. However, we continued to pray with our eyes closed, but even though my eyes were closed, I could see outside the truck and witness the events happening in the cave. And this may represent prayer and intercession and spiritual warfare or discernment and necessity through our own personal trials for the tribulation times just ahead. And we were on an elevated path. This could represent abiding in heavenly places in Christ, even in the midst of the tribulation, right? John 16 and 33 says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. have to keep these things in mind, don't we? I was aware to witness bursts of flame coming from the ground level of the cave. It was almost like the ground level was a bowl and flames would burst out of the top of the bowl. However, I only saw light from the burst of the flames, even though there was a constant fire. In other words, he wasn't harmed. The darkness in the cave was so dense that it even smothered the light of the fire, but did not extinguish the fire, because the fire had fuel, which was the people it was consuming. I heard many screams of agony, horror, despair come from this pit. Well, you know, in the tribulation, many will fall away in the fiery trials that the Lord sends to purge out the old leaven of their lives, and many more will perish in the tribulation period because they are not rooted and grounded in the Word. Remember the parable of the sower. 3 out of 4 fell away. This is why we need the Word in us. With each bursting flame over the top of the bowl, I would again see a glimpse of light. It illuminated what seemed like a sulfur catwalk over the bowl of fire full of people. I would glimpse demons monitoring and enjoying torturing of these people. They look just like they are typically portrayed, with red bodies, black swirling goat horns, and a pitchfork. Suddenly, the only thing I could see was a paper bulletin that was a sickness form that originated from hell, with random names and the names of the brethren written down on it. The demons would fill out and dispatch these forms next to everyone's name, and was disease that was a disease or a curse. I knew that these sickness forms were being dispatched and sent upwards from hell to earth. Sound familiar? In other words, the people of God are being chastened or tested by sicknesses. The vaccines will bring much sickness, lasting through the tribulation for some. And although med beds will be God's mercy to many unbelieving, the revival through the man-child reformers will heal many and bring glory to God. At this time, all else was dark. I did not see the fire, people, demons, and I didn't hear anyone any more screams. I only witnessed this sickness form that was all still happening as my family and I were holding each other and praying. And we were still safe, sealed up in the truck, and then I woke up. Well, as I woke up, I felt the Father was putting in it on my heart that Satan is wanting to sift the brethren. And this verse came to mind, Luke 22:31-32. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan asked to have you, that he might sift you as wheat. But I made supplication for thee that thy faith fail not, and do thou, when once thou hast turned again, establish thy brethren. So obviously, we have to overcome in the tests in order to be prepared to help others, don't we? Amen. Okay, saints, I hope this edified you and prepared you for some of these things that are coming. And Father, we thank you so much for your wisdom that you give us in these dreams and visions and words and prophecies. And we thank you, Lord, for preparing your people to know that they can make it through that cave too, in the name of Jesus, when they're on the high road in the heavenly places in Christ. Amen. All right, saints, God bless you and be with you in Jesus' name.